Before I start today, I would just like to express my utmost gratitude to all of you who have expressed your sympathies and compassion and best wishes for peace after the passing of my dad. You have been so generous in your outpouring of love and support, in your understanding exactly how it feels, and I thank you. I thank you so much for that. This morning, we're going to explore a different way of looking at gratitude because we are in the month of Thanksgiving. We're in the month of gratitude. And I would like you to, first of all, this morning, think of something that feels like it's missing in your life, something that you wish was there that you do not see yet. I just want you to think about that thing. Imagine what it is. Might be having to do with your health, relationship, something in your home, a material object, a deeper sense of peace, anything, tangible or intangible, that feels like it's missing in your life. Now, you know, I'm not talking about like a piece of Tiffany jewelry, although it might be that. As an expression of your prosperity, but let's look at the things that you feel like are missing in your life. Because our talk today is that gratitude is not just about giving thanks. And so I'd like to kind of set the stage for us as you consider the question that I posed to you about what you feel like might be missing. And I was going a different direction with this talk this morning until I read my daily reading from the Center for Action and Contemplation in New Mexico, Father Richard Rohr. And his reading today sets the stage for what I'm going to talk about. So I'd like to share some of that with you today, just a portion of it. The reading is called Jesus and the Reign of God. So just hang with me here for a second, because this is what we teach in New Thought, but this is coming from someone who was trained and works in the Catholic tradition, and I would say as a mystic, Father Richard Rohr. Jesus announced, lived, and inaugurated for history a new social order. He called it the reign or the kingdom of God, and it became the guiding image of his entire ministry. The reign of God is the subject of Jesus' inaugural address. So you look in Mark 1, Matthew 4, Luke 4, his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, and the majority of his parables. Once this guiding vision of God's will became clear to Jesus, which seems to have happened when he was about 30 and alone in the desert. You remember that's where he went out for a time of contemplation, and supposedly Satan came to him and tempted him. And what it was bringing out, it was burning away everything that was not necessary to him to bring his mission to the world. So when he was out there in the desert, everything else came into perspective. In fact, Matthew's gospel says, from then onwards, Jesus began to preach. In order to explain this concept, it may be helpful to first say what it is not. The kingdom is not synonymous with heaven. And I think I've talked about this before, that we have always thought, many of us have always thought, that heaven is a place beyond us when we die. And that's the only time we experience it. We suffer here, we go to heaven, get our reward. But that's not what Jesus was teaching at all. Many Christians have mistakenly thought that the reign of God is eternal life, or where we go after we die. That idea is disproven by Jesus' own prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come means very clearly that God's realm is something that enters into this world, or as Jesus puts it, is close at hand. We shouldn't project it into another world. What we discover in the New Testament, especially in Matthew's gospel, is that the kingdom of God is a new world order, a new age, a promised hope begun in the teaching and ministry of Jesus and continued in us. It didn't just stop with him. I think of the kingdom of God as he calls it the really real, with two capital R's. The kingdom of God is the really real. That experience of the really real, the kingdom experience, is the heart of Jesus' teaching. It's reality with a capital R, the very bottom line, the pattern that connects. It is the all. It is the God of all true religion, the experience of the absolute, the eternal, what is. God gives us just enough tastes of God's realm to believe in it and to want it more than anything. So with that, just imagine a time of pure connection and ecstasy that you've had in a prayer, a meditation, viewing a sunrise or a sunset, experiencing the joy and love of a child, anything in which you felt that absolute knowing. That is what we want more than anything. In the parables, Jesus never says that the kingdom is totally now or totally later. And this is important. It's always now and not yet. So again, this is a paradox that we are learning to live with, the now and not yet. When we live inside the really real, we live in a threshold space between this world and the next. We learn how to live between heaven and earth, one foot in both worlds, holding them precious together. We have only the first fruits of the kingdom in this world, but we experience enough to know that it's the only thing that will ever satisfy us. Once we have had the truth, half-truths do not satisfy us anymore. In its light, everything else is relative, even our own life. That's a powerful reading this morning. It knocked me right into my scrambled eggs. Literally, I was reading that as I was eating breakfast this morning. So now I want you to go back to that thing that you feel like is missing in your life and to imagine yourself now with what is and what is not yet and straddling that position, because that's where we are. We're used to giving thanks after we receive something. We're used to that. We're taught that as children. You say please before you get it. You say thank you after you get it. It could be a cookie. It could be a toy car. It could be a real car. Please, I'd like a new car. Thank you, I have a new car. Right, Jan Jan? Right. But you see, there is a subtlety to what we teach in New Thought. That gratitude is not reserved for the after. Gratitude is also in that in-between space. Gratitude is existent and essential in the in-between. In other words, if we trust that principle is at work all the time, which it is, then we give thanks for that which is not yet. We give thanks knowing the perfect outcome, knowing the perfect manifestation. And sometimes that manifestation may show up not as we originally envisioned it, but in a way that's better, in a way that serves our lives better, in a way that lets our lives then serve the world better. So our gratitude is not just for what we've received, it's for what we are going to receive. Peace of mind, wholesome relationships, answers to our problems. We give thanks, knowing that it is at hand. That's the reign of heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. It's at hand. So we have to get comfortable with being in that, in the in-between. One foot here on the earth and the other foot in the really real. When I read this, I could not help but think about that show that many of you watched called Stranger Things, and the supernatural realm in that was the Upside Down. I'm not talking about the Upside Down, even though we feel like we might be living in the Upside Down sometimes. We are actually in the really real, so just keep that straight. So part of our prayer is about acknowledging what it is we have already and giving thanks for it. And one of the things we're doing with our gratitude journals this month is sharpening our awareness of what we're thankful for. It makes us think about things that we might not otherwise think about because we're in a hurry. We didn't stop to pay attention. We took something for granted. It didn't cross our mind to give thanks. And so that we're doing that in our gratitude journal. I know one of the questions, one of the prompts in the last few days was, what is it that you've experienced at the very beginning of the day today that made you very, very grateful? And man, my first response was, my bed. I love my bed. I like to put nice sheets on there, and I like to bundle up, and I like to have pillows. And I know some of you like to sleep like maybe Japanese people on something that's very simple and plain and just suits you for sleeping. I like to make a big old nest. And sometimes I really have to talk myself out of climbing out of my nest. So yes, I was grateful for my bed. I'm grateful for my bed every time I get into it. And that's one thing I can give thanks for before I'm in it, is that I know my time in my bed is coming at the end of the day. But we can also give thanks for the things we can't see yet. I'm wrestling with an issue, with a problem right now that I don't have the solution for. But I'm giving thanks in knowing that that solution, that answer, that right path is at hand. And so I'm giving thanks that I will know exactly the right thing at the right time. And I want you now to think about that thing that you feel like is missing in your life and go ahead and give thanks as though it were already there. Because what you're doing is opening your heart to be receptive to that. You're opening your eyes so that you can see that which you might have missed. You're opening your ears so that you can hear the opportunities that you might have otherwise ignored. That's what the spiritual life is about. It's about living with a foot in each world and being comfortable there. If we spend too much time over here in our grounded earth space, then we just get dragged down by the gravity of it. That's the human condition. But we are beings of light. We are creations living in concert with our Creator. If we spend all our time over here in the realm of the really real all the time, we would not be grounded on the earth in order to be able to express God fully and to be able to make the world a better place because of it. So it's necessary that we get comfortable with that paradox. It's necessary that we do everything that we can to explore what the kingdom of heaven really is right now. And that's what allows us to feel joy even in the midst of confusion or non-answers or what's missing or in our sadness or in our even in our boredom. The kingdom of heaven is still right here. I read a quote yesterday. I don't even remember what this was written on, but it jumped out. And this is what I'm talking about. Because I had my mind already moving toward the manifestation of this talk this morning, this quote jumped off the page at me that I might not otherwise have paid attention to. And it's from Thornton Wilder, the author, who said, "We can only be said to be alive when we are conscious of our treasures." I love that. I love that. Because our treasures are tangible and our treasures are intangible. There's a couple of good Unity readings about this that I want to share with you. It was in a little pamphlet that came, and if you subscribe to the Daily Word or any of the Unity publications, there was just a little, like, threefold pamphlet called Reflections on Gratitude, a collection of prayers, tools, and practices to support you this Thanksgiving. And so Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, she called gratitude and thanksgiving qualities of the soul. The practice of thanksgiving, she said, should be observed in the home every day of the year, not just on the national holiday. But just as all of our holidays bring us a heightened awareness of what that holiday represents, thanksgiving is one that we can certainly practice all year long. She said, "Heaven and earth listen and respond to the soul that is quickened into praise and thanksgiving." She wrote this in a book called How to Let God Help You. She said, "Praise is gratitude and action." And then Richard and Mary Alice Jafala, in their book, Adventures on the Quest, that came out just right after I graduated from ministerial school, "When we give thanks, we are really giving our blessing. Like sunflowers turning toward the sun, giving thanks turns our hearts toward our good. We know the power of thanksgiving on a human, emotional plane. We like to be appreciated and thanked. It motivates us and opens us up to do better. On a spiritual plane, when we are sincerely thankful to God for the good we have and the good in store for us, thanksgiving takes on an even more attracting power. Like a powerful magnet, thanksgiving attracts our good to us." This is probably the kernel of what I'm trying to say today. On a spiritual plane, when we are sincerely thankful to God for the good we have and the good in store, kingdom of heaven, thanksgiving takes on an even more attracting power. Like a powerful magnet, thanksgiving attracts our good to us. So wouldn't it be amazing if we could affect a global shift? Would it be okay with you if we had a global shift? We're due for a global shift. If we all sent love and thoughts of gratitude into our home, work, church, community, state, and world, collectively we have the power to shift consciousness and bring forth a transformed world through the expression of our love and gratitude. Oh my goodness. What if the key to world peace and world transformation, a global transformation, came about because of thanksgiving and gratitude? that. I'm willing to take that on. And I'm going to invite you to join me in taking that on to affect a global shift. Start giving thanks for everything. Everything. Give thanks for everything. I got up this morning and this wind has been blowing today. So my patio and the pool and everything else is blown. Leaves everywhere. And my first thought was, man, that is a mess in the pool. And then I thought, okay, I am so grateful I have a pool. You know, this is a first world issue. Leaves in my pool. I'm almost embarrassed to say it. But then I thought, no, I'm grateful I have a pool. I'm grateful that I have a vacuum in my pool. I'm grateful that the seasons are changing because they remind me that life is changeable and going through transformation all the time. And there's a front coming in. Yay, I love the cool weather. I was up during my dad's passing and during his burial service. There are a lot more deciduous trees in the Dallas-Fort Worth area than there are here in the Hill Country. So when I was up there, as October turned into November, oh my goodness, the trees that change colors were just magnificent. And we have them here too. This is nothing. I love the Hill Country changes, except the cedar part. But to be able to see trees on fire with the change of the season is glorious. And it made me wonder if I can view the changes of the seasons in my own life, in the lives of people around me, the changes of the seasons in the world consciousness, if I can be grateful for that as well. Because sometimes our global changes within ourselves, they don't always feel so great. But what if I said, thank you, God, for the transformation that is occurring in me right now. I understand the pain, but I'm also feeling the joy because I know something good is at hand. Something good is at hand. So we give thanks in advance. To me, when I first heard this, I thought, well, that feels kind of silly because how do I know it's going to happen? Oh, it'll happen. You have to open your heart to be able to see it. And giving thanks before is the way that we do that. And again, circumstances and events arrange themselves for the perfect timing for everything in our lives for our highest good. All the time. I know that as I get older, it would be easier to fall into a sense of doom and gloom about world circumstances and about the sadness of all the death that has been happening, all the sickness that's been happening, all of the political strife that's been happening, my personal things in my own life. They could weigh me down, and sometimes they do. But what I hold in the other hand is the gratitude for knowing that God has got me all the time. Not only the invisible God, but God with skin on, people in my life. The unconditional love I get from my dog. My curious cat that when he gets really, really happy and content with laying in your lap, he just drools on you. Yay. But you know, I can wash. And I know I've got a happy cat, and a happy cat makes me happy. And I just give a silly example because it applies to everything, my friends. Everything. And we may go through a dry desert, lengthy, feels like it's never going to end part of our lives. And the thing that will help move us through it and be able to endure it is a sense of gratitude, not just for the things that we have, which is important, but for that which is coming, which is peace, relief, enlightenment, growth, and the next best thing in our lives. Do you know that's all that we can do from moment to moment anyway? Is the next best thing for our lives. So I invite you today to just start looking at the things that you've maybe complained about or been grumpy about or cursed the heavens about because something has not yet manifested in your life, and start giving thanks in advance. Because you see, the realm of possibility, pardon me, the realm of manifestation doesn't know time and space. And so we don't get to decide when that thing shows up. We just give thanks. We just give thanks. So if this is a revolutionary idea for you, I invite you to consider it. Because we are on our way to global transformation. Jan, would you mind handing me that bottle, please? I don't think I'll get through a meditation without clearing a little bit. Yes, ma'am. Big old bottle of water. Excuse me, just a moment. I'm grateful for the wind and everything that it brings into my body. Because I have clear, cool water to help me out. So as we move into our meditation today, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Remember that you made maybe a little bit of a promise that you would join me in global transformation just a few minutes ago. If you were nodding off during that part, sorry, not sorry, but we're all interested in doing our part to bring about transformation for the world, to bring about peace and healing in the world, to bring about equality and justice and freedom in the world. So let's just take your life right now. Whatever it is that's missing, I want you to just say thank you. Thank you for that which is yet to be manifested. Thank you for that which is in potential. And it doesn't really matter at this point, my friends, if you believe it wholeheartedly. What you can do is act as if it were already there. Because that's a heart that's open to receive. Wide open. Could do this one thing together right now. There's a vaccine or two or three in potential. Let's give thanks that the right vaccine at the right time will be available for all the people who need it. Thank you, God. And notice how maybe just a little bit of worry slips away. And notice how much joy there is in the realm of potential, in the realm of infinite substance that comes into manifestation in our world because our hearts are open to reveal it, express it, give thanks again. And now I'd like you to think about one person who enriches your life so much. Someone with whom the time you spend makes you joyful. And in your heart right now, say thank you. Because the God in you honors the God in them. The God in me honors the God in you, my friends. This is our namaste. And the next time you have a chance, make sure you say those words to that person. Your life makes my life better. Thank you. And if someone says that to you, beloved, open your heart and receive it. Don't push it away with your protests. Don't let whatever feelings of unworthiness that you might still harbor stand in the way of receiving your good. I want you to breathe deeply. Just breathe. Give thanks for the breath that flows in and out of your body, sustaining your life, bringing calm to your heart, to your mind, to your whole body. And now give thanks for all the breaths that are to come. Now, beloved, I'm going to open my eyes and look at you. And together, we're going to experience the really real. That thing that binds us together, that's the really real. That which transcends the time and space that we're apart, that's the really real. The parts of your heart that are being watered so that they might grow from these words and this meditation, that's the really real. It's why we need each other. So that we're not just looking into the mirror of ourselves all the time, but we're seeing God's love manifest in others, mirroring back to us. And as we give thanks, as we live in that attitude of gratitude for everything, you'll find yourself giving thanks to strangers, acknowledging the goodness in people that don't even notice you're there. For what you have to gain is only good. So let your generous heart open. give thanks for all that is and all that is to be. And as we continue through this season of gratitude, now it is not just an act, it is a becoming. We are gratitude. We live and breathe gratitude. So, beloved, just touch your tender heart and give thanks for it all. For God is good. God is all good. And you're doing just fine. And so it is. Amen.